You're about to enter into a new world of knowledge, curiosities, and high strangeness. This is a podcast of Straight Up Strange Productions.
Good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is, wherever you are, when you are listening, this is the Monsters and Friends podcast. This is a podcast dedicated to sharing the stories of the lesser known cryptids, legends, and lore of the United States. Well, of the world, but right now we're focusing on the good old U.S. We think Bigfoot and Nessie totally get enough attention at this point. It's time to share some of the lesser known guys. As always, I am your a little bit less than sane host, Michael Patrick, and I am incredibly grateful that you are joining us out here around the campfire. I may be a little sick, so if I sound a little stuffy, I do apologize. My Bigfoot friend Barry and I are in the midst of an American adventure where we're trying to discover the lesser-known cryptids, legends, and lore that each and every U.S. state has to offer. This week is yet another fun one. I am very excited to journey to this state as it's a place, once again, I have spent some time. And you know what? I think that I may have had an experience here, but I always assumed that I was wrong. Well, guess what? I probably was. But hey, you never know, right? This week, Barry and I keep the Winnie moving, and we're going to go to the left a little bit, to the great state of Maryland. That's right, crab cakes, Camden Yard, the U.S. Naval Academy. You know what has me more jazzed than all three of these, though? After a two-week absence, we have an aquatic ambassador. That's not the only reason that this podcast host is geeked. I'm like 64.35261% sure that way back in 1993, during a school field trip to the Inner Harbor, I saw this aquatic ambassador swimming around, like, for reals. I remember standing on one of the ramparts at Fort McHenry and watching some kids throwing some Skittles at a dead thing covered in oil. That's not the scary part. As I watched them, though, I noticed about 100 yards out into the harbor that there was, like, a weird thing that kind of looked like a big snake. Of course, as a typical 12-year-old, I didn't really give it a second thought. Thought maybe it was a stick or a buoy line or just anything else. All I do remember is that I just really, really wanted a Skittle. This week's first cryptid is...
Chessie. The Chesapeake Bay Sea Monster.
Yes, indeedy. That is right. We are talking about Chessie, the Chesapeake Bay Sea Monster. Chessie is yet another in a series of sea monsters seen up and down the Atlantic seaboard. She's also a rather interesting case. To start, it makes you wonder if Chessie is the same as some of these other creatures. Most sightings of Chessie describe her as being somewhere between 25 and 40 feet long. The average seems to be about 30-ish feet, but I don't know, shrug. According to a few eyewitness accounts, Chessie has dark reptilian skin. So a lot of these accounts has described her as having more snake-like skin as opposed to an eel or a creature like that. Generally, it's also said that Chessie's skin is kind of is black or just very dark brown. But you know what? When we see her at festivals and in print and in pictures, she's usually green. You know, for the kids. Chessie is also said to be quite thick. That's T-H-I-C-C. The consensus seems to be that she's about as thick as a telephone pole. Maybe a little bit bigger depending on who's telling the story. She's said to have a head that's shaped kind of like a football, and honestly, this is generally what we see when we're talking about most of these creatures. It was compared to a horse head or something along those lines. When she moves, she also has that slithering effect to her when she's cruising along in the water, hence, you know, the sea serpent. It's not like a sea monkey or whatever. I always wanted a sea monkey. Thanks, Mom. No matter what, though, Chessie is a creature that offers quite a bit of debate. She's had quite a few eyewitness accounts that have been documented, but that isn't enough. Honestly, though, it's more than enough for me. So let's talk about a few of them, shall we? The very first, earliest, most earliest account way back in the year 1936. A few gentlemen were flying in a whirligig when they went up and over the Bush River. FYI, the Bush River is a little slice of heaven nestled in that sweet little Estuary that runs about 10 miles south to the old Chesapeake Bay. That's an estuary in case I spell too fast. Estuaries are amazing. Anyway, they were flying over the estuary and the Bush River when they noticed something reptilian and unknown in the water. The word they actually use is reptilial, but we're going to go ahead and use proper English here, so who knows. Since they were woo-wooing along, they didn't really have time to stop and take a good look at the creature, but rather they made quality notes and they reported it to their supervisors or superiors when they touched down. There was another sighting, though, in 1943 when these two dudes were out fishing for perch. If you don't know what a perch is, it's a fish. Not a porch, a perch. They spotted something not too far away while they were fishing, and when reporting what they had saw, they said this. This thing was about 75 yards away, at right angles from our boat. At first, it looked like something floating on the water. It was black, and the part of it that was out of the water seemed about 12 feet long. It has a head about as big as a football and shaped somewhere like a horse's head. It turned its head around several times, almost all the way around. I mean, that's a pretty incredible sighting, especially when you're out there looking for some wee tiny perch. You see a horse head football creature just kind of turning its head almost completely around. Sightings continued up and through the decades also. Countless reports of people seeing this weird snake-like creature all throughout the Chesapeake Bay area. Then, in 1982, there was a breakthrough, or I guess what we can call a breakthrough. Robert Frew and his wife Karen were entertaining guests on Memorial Day, such as you do. They were out on their deck, probably shooting off fireworks and getting all crazy, when Robert saw something in the water. He grabbed his binoculars and he looked out to see something that was swimming in that water. This was before iPhones, when you just, you know, like try to get that magnification in there. So, much like before iPhones, he then ran and got his video camera and started recording. He followed the creature swimming through the water for about 200 feet or so, and he says that it even passed within about 50 feet of swimmers. I guess with that being said, though, we can safely say that Chessie probably isn't a carnivore. That would have been some pretty sweet snacks for her if she was really into that. Still, Robert continued to watch the creature. When asked what he thought about the creature, he said, "Our conclusions are, number one, it's big, and number two, it sure as hell doesn't belong here." In reading some of his accounts and kind of learning a little bit about Robert Few, quite a few folks have questioned Robbie here, but interesting enough, he's actually got a degree from the University of Maine in wildlife management, so he's not really a slouch when it comes to animals and creatures. With all that being said, though, he couldn't say for sure what this thing was. His wife Karen thought for sure that it was Chessie. He thought something different. He thought that this thing was probably a snake, but the Hey Arnold head kind of threw him off. I haven't been able to find the video, but the Frews were definitely an advocate that something was in the bay. The most recent sighting, though, happened in 2014. A gentleman was parked on the side of Irondale Beach Road next to the Magothy River. He said that the tide was pretty high, and he was about parked like a foot away from the side of the road. About 5 feet away, he saw something in the water. He did a double take when he noticed that it was some sort of snake-like creature about 20 to 25 feet long. One of the dudes whispered to his buddy to take a look, and they wondered if perhaps these were like two different animals swimming kind of in a straight line. Obviously, as long as they could see it, they were dumbfounded. One of the guys even said that he was super mad at himself for not snapping a picture, but he was so shocked by this creature, he just wasn't able to do anything. They even mentioned that when they called this in to the police weren't shocked either. They actually were kind of calm, and they took his account down and asked him if he had taken a picture. He said no, and the guy on the other end of the phone sounded pretty bummed out. There have been quite a few sightings of Chessie over the years. I'll make sure that I post a link to the different sightings on the Instagram and the Twitter so that you can see some more of these. There may be a lot of different sightings, but along with that, there are also numerous explanations. The first is quite an interesting one. In 1980 and again in 1994 and I believe another time in the 2000s, they found some really interesting creatures in the rivers around Maryland. Apparently, there were some manatees that took a wrong turn somewhere down there in Florida, and they ended up in Maryland, of all places. And it's a legitimate story, too. It's not some crazy concocted story. The U.S. Geological Survey actually snapped a picture in 2011 of one of these things near the shore in Calvert County. I mean, who knows? Maybe they're cousins with Chessie, the Chesapeake Bay sea monster. But I guess it is an option that that's what these things could be, but it's just really strange. This past spring, I saw my very first manatee in the wild down in Florida. And you know what? They are THICC. Yes, they are. Long and pole-shaped. Not so much. So I'm not sure if that connection is spot on, but you never know. Another theory is an age-old one, but I'm not entirely sure if it fits. The old prehistoric creature story. I'm going to say that this one is probably bumpkiss, but I guess it's always a possibility. It's definitely not a plesiosaur. While doing some hardcore scientific research, aka doing a Google image search, there are a few other dinosaurs that could fit the bill-ish, you know. Perhaps a Pliosaurus or a Alesmosaurus. I don't know. Probably not. But you think I'm smarter than that, right? Because I said them fancy names. For real, there are a lot of cool dinosaurs. And I mean, some of them kind of fit the description of this thing. Some folks actually believe that there have been a few Chessies, and that over the last century or so, they're slowly dying out. That is one way that you could possibly explain the dwindling number of sightings, but I have no idea. And of course, another theory that they throw out there is it's a hoax. Some folks believe that the videos and pictures are just somebody with some little toys or playing some camera tricks. Perhaps it's just a wave blowing through the bays and the rivers. I saw a video that I'm pretty sure that's what it was, but again, who knows? That'd be a pretty disappointing explanation as well, but I mean, I guess it could be. With all the eyewitness accounts, though, it really seems like Chessie is just some sort of real-life cryptid just waiting to be found. We're going to go ahead and we're going to move a bit away from the water now. Actually, we're going to go far away from the water to someone or something that probably isn't really a big fan of water. Well, her namesake anyway. We're going to head on up to the Pennsylvania-Delaware-Maryland border. Not too far away from the wedge that we talked about last time. We're going to park the old Winnie off of old U.S. Highway number 1, and we're going to do some exploring. Actually, let's just go ahead and introduce you to our next friend.
The Pig Lady.
We are going to explore Highway 1 and see if we can't find the Pig Lady. This is yet again something quite terrifying and also very disturbing. The disturbing bit starts right from the beginning, as it has to do with her appearance. There are a few versions of the Pig Lady, so each description is just a wee bit different. However, the basic bits that are similar is that the Pig Lady is pretty much just kind of humanoid in form. It has two arms, two legs, a torso, some hairish. She resembles an older woman that through one circumstance or another has a face that's described as being like that of a pig. This one isn't super cut and dry. So let's dive into the Pig Lady and see the differences. The first version of how the Pig Lady came to be is a tale of tragedy. Actually, they all kind of are, but we'll start with this one. The Pig Lady was once a woman named Ethel. I have no idea of her actual name, but we're going to go with Ethel. Anyway, Ethel was a maid that worked in this lavish mansion. One night, a fire broke out in the house, and everyone escaped. Well, everyone but Ethel. No one thought to tell her the house was burning, but her swine sense eventually kicked in and she was able to escape. The issue here, though, was that her face was melted and disfigured. She was in such agony that she decided the best recourse was to run into the woods and live amongst the forest because she was so gross. In this version, she simply had her face disfigured so bad that it kind of melted the skin away and it made her kind of resemble a swine. Another story sees Ethel as being just a regular, normal person. Well, actually, let me rephrase. Regular in the fact that when she was born, she was grotesque and disgusting. Her parents lived on a farm and sent her to live with the pigs in the barn because she was so terrible to look at. Not only that, she was horribly bullied and tormented by the other kids around. Her parents wanted to shelter her as much as they could so that she could live a life or something. When she got older, she lived on the family farm by herself, again, so that no one would bother her. However, as she was out gardening, a few boys came along, and of course, like awesome, sweet young kids they are, they teased her. That night, they even were nice enough to bring a bloody pig's head, and they left it on her doorstep. The two boys ended up disappearing after that night. It was a mystery until years later when the land was starting to be developed and it was being used for new houses, and they tilled up some of the land. They discovered in the garden where she was doing her gardening, there were bones of boys, and they established that the Pig Lady killed them. But for real, this is a pretty creepy and terrifying legend. There are two different versions about what she does too. So apparently she lives under this bridge, which is aptly named Pig Lady Bridge. And the legend says that if you go there, one of two things are going to happen. Numero uno, you pull up onto the bridge, you turn off your car, and you honk, and you yell for the Pig Lady. She then appears from below the bridge with an axe, and she murders you. Number two, as you pull up to the bridge and honk your horn, piggy magic happens, and the car will stall out. At this point, Pig Lady pops out, and bam, murdered. I dug a lot. I looked for all sorts of murder stories and crimes and all those sorts of stuff. Anything to tie the bridge and the deaths, but not one has been reported there. So either the Pig Lady is really good at killing people and hiding or eating their bodies, or number two, yeah. However, there are accounts of weird shenanigans, though. While looking around, I found an awesome resource in Weird Maryland. Big shout out to you, fellas. In Weird Maryland, there are a few stories of the Pig Lady. One, of course, is a mocking story, but there's another that's actually quite terrifying. I won't read the whole thing, but the basic gist is that these people did park and they honked on the bridge and they did the make noise thing. But as Billy Miles says, they couldn't even do that. He describes what happened, though, as follows. The sound I heard that night is hard to describe. When it was farther off, it sounded like a woman yelling. But as it got closer and closer, it got deeper and deeper and less human. It was a distinct squeal, a full-on, rumbling, nasty pig squeal. That sounds awful. He also said as he drove away, he turned to see something standing on the bridge. He couldn't fully make it out because he was, you know, terrified, but he says it was something that was walking across the bridge. There were other accounts similar to this as well in a few different other areas. Other accounts say that if you get out, you'll encounter her. And there are actually stories of people disappearing and being found sobbing with scratches and cuts from something other than foliage, obviously. It's terrifying. Have I said that yet? So there are three explanations that I can figure out about this thing. Number one, obviously, the hoax, urban legend, piece of lore kind of a thing. These are all stories fueled by our fear when we're actually out on the bridge or we're in the woods. Do me a favor for a second. Stare at a dark spot in your room and see what happens. It's just going to get darker. Is it because there's a demon there? I mean, probably. Just kidding. It's actually because that's just how the physiology of your eyes work. But maybe it's the same. We hear the story and manifest the pig lady. Number B, it's a ghost. It's some sort of spirit that haunts the woods near where this poor woman or girl or whatever perished. Maybe her family couldn't take it anymore and were sick of being talked about and either banished her or, worse yet, did something terrible. Maybe she was taunted so relentlessly that she took her own life. Now she wanders wanting revenge. Or the spirit of the woman of the house that was disfigured and left for dead. Maybe it's her. Then, of course, there's old numero tres. Some sort of deformed outcast that lives in the woods. Perhaps something along the lines of the supposed melonheads of Connecticut and Ohio. Wouldn't that be interesting, though? Some people that genuinely make their home in the forest that just get bothered by us trying to catch a glimpse of them. Or perhaps it's the same woman from 100 years ago that, through some form or another, continues to live. I don't know. If she lived out in the woods, she's obviously not eating McDonald's and stuff, so that's going to help her physically. I'm sure I could eat some leaves and moss and mushrooms, and I'd probably live forever. Well, actually, I'm allergic to mushrooms, so I'd end up dying, so there's that. But no matter what the truth is, like everything else we talk about here, people have experienced the pig lady. Truth or not, she's burned into some people's consciousness and their memories. And like it or not, a lot of these legends are rooted somewhere in reality. If you're ever around Pig Lady Bridge, or even what's left of it, make sure you keep your eyes peeled. And with that, as always, we find ourselves drawing to a close. Just a few quick reminders, though. If you're digging the Monsters and Friends podcast, which you obviously are because you're listening, make sure to check out the Straight Up Strange podcast family as well. There's a lot of really different and cool things there that I know will tickle your pickle. There's horror, there's drama, comedy, drink recipes. Can't get wrong, right? Head on over to straightupstrange.com or go ahead and search for us on Twitter at StrangePods to see a lineup of what we have and figure out what you might like. Speaking of Twitter, please make sure that you go ahead and jump on there and you give us a follow at MNFPod, and make sure you also follow the Instagram at Monsters and Friends. I always make sure to post a couple of extra things on there throughout the course of the week. There are lots of monsters and legends that we just don't have time to talk about. One of the great things is the social media gives us a chance to fill you guys in about a little more. Also, I love being a part of a pod family, and not just the Straight Up Strange family, but a bigger pod family in general. So I'm going to ask that you stick around afterwards for a promo from an awesome show that I absolutely adore and actually is one of the reasons that I continue to do what I do. Make sure that you guys check out Graveyard Tales and make sure that you're listening and subscribing and downloading and just check out their show. It's pretty amazing. And while you're out there, make sure you drop a subscribe for us as well. Tell a friend too. Tell 6 or 29. Either way, make sure that you give us a subscribe, and if you get a chance, leave a review, please. You can find us wherever you get your downloads, unless you're from Antarctica, and then you're in trouble. No matter where you are from, though, we hope next week you come back around and hang out with Barry and I. Thank you so much for stopping by, and we'll chat again real soon.
Good evening, everybody, or morning or afternoon or whatever, it doesn't matter. We are Graveyard Tales. Now, if you like ghost stories, hauntings, cryptid encounters, and the weird history behind them, then you should join us in the graveyard.
You can find us on any of your favorite podcast providers. Check out our website at graveyardpodcast.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter at GRV. Just go search Graveyard Tales.
That would be easier. Now, we hope to see you in the graveyard.